Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Father, we just receive the healing. We receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit right now. Drop down on us like dew from heaven, Lord. Water us deeply, Lord. Every dry place on the inside of us, every discouraged thing, even the part of us that we haven't even been paying attention to. So deep inside, Lord, we haven't even thought maybe about how discouraged or down we are. Lord, let all of that be erased in your presence right now. Renew us in the Holy Spirit right now. Fill us with your mighty power, Lord. Give us joy unspeakable and full of glory, Lord. Baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And with the fire of heaven, Lord, let your passion, Lord, burn within us again as we are in your presence, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let the fire not go out in us. Let it burn bright on the inside of us, Lord. We give you glory, Jesus, for all you've done and all you're yet to do. For we expect great things from you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning for his awesome love? Jesus, you are worthy. For he is Lord. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you, worship team. Wonderful time of worship. Well, I'm just excited about this beautiful time of the year that we are in, and so great to see a full house here this morning. Great to have you. I want to say thank you to our Gateway staff. They've been working very, very hard. You know, you've been hearing about this conference, and I think I mentioned last week that it's probably the greatest event that we've had easily in a decade, for sure. And I really want you to be a part of this. The staff has been working really hard, and I just want you as a church to honor and thank the staff for how hard they're working. Can we do that? You guys are doing an amazing job. Everybody on Team Gateway, all the ushers, all the people that are working hard, this will be a great reason, this will be a great event for you to be a part of. And I want to share with you three reasons why I'd love for you to be at this event. The dates are October 20th through the 21st. This is our Inspire Leadership Conference. And one reason that you would want to be here is because you're going to be inspired. You're going to be lifted up by these sessions. We're going to share tremendous vision with you about where our church is going in the next 3, 5, 10 years. It's going to be very inspiring, but it's going to be very practical for each and every one of us and how we all can be a part of the vision. So it'll inspire you, it'll rev you up, and the worship is going to be great. And the other reason why I think you might want to come is because you're going to make a lot of new friends. Easily half of this conference is going to be time connecting together. So it's not just going to be like a regular conference where you just preach and somebody's preaching and everybody's listening. We're going to actually break into community groups, and it's very creative what's going to happen. You're going to make friends. You're going to have time to connect and hear each other's story. So it's going to be a very relational experience, not just a listening experience. So you're going to come away with new friends, and those friends are going to be from 4 campuses. Gateway is now one church meeting in 4 locations, and they're all driving in to have this relational experience together. And the last reason why I think you should register and be a part of this is you're going to get a free lunch. Now, don't believe the lie that there's no such thing as a free lunch, because we are going to serve lunch. In fact, on Friday, there's going to be lunch. The conference starts Friday morning, and there will be lunch. And then after the evening services, which is going to be a blowout worship service on that Friday night, there's going to be a big party. And the team is working very hard to make this party a tremendous success. So a lot of work is going into this. Now, here's the thing. If you don't register, you won't be admitted for the food. And registration ends next Sunday. Everyone say next Sunday. So that's October 8th. Now, after October 8th, if at the last minute you can come, please come. But there's no way for us to prepare the right amount of food if you don't let us know that you're coming. So that's why you need to register. There's no cost for you to register, but it's just a simple RSVP. So you can do that in the lobby. Please come and join us for the food, for the fellowship, for the inspiration. It's going to be an amazing time. And here's a little preview of what's coming. God is right now raising up people who understand that there is a purpose. They understand that they have a purpose. God is raising those kinds of people up. And you know what I believe? You are one of those people. So he's giving every teenager, every child, every senior citizen, every woman, every man, every person in every culture that is a follower of him, he says to them, I give you purpose. You are looking at a man on fire to shine the light of Jesus Christ in Silicon Valley, in the United States, and around the world. I am consumed with a sense that this is the time for the church to shine. Now let me say this to you prophetically. You are the person that God is raising up to change the world. Awesome. So that's our Inspire Leadership Conference. Special thanks to Joe, who put that together, Joseph Adzaliah, who's running sound today. There's that handsome man bun man in the... Hallelujah. I'm really excited about what God is doing. I've never had this much faith, this much inspiration in ministry in all of my years, so please be a part of what's happening. All right, are you ready for the Word of God? All right, welcome everybody in the sanctuary. If you're joining us online, very glad that you are joining us. And you know, one of the big, as we get into our fourth message on the Beyond series, one of the constant challenges that I have as a communicator, and I'm faced with it every week, is the opportunity to somehow weave pictures of my grandchildren into the message without seeming self-focused or self-centered. So today I have the perfect way to do that, and I want to introduce you to Mila. This is our fourth grandchild, a little girl born to Aaron and Carrie. And what does that have to do with my message? Very little. However, I did want you to meet her, and I don't want to seem self-serving. So today we're going to talk about the whole process of going from childhood to adulthood, which is that process of maturity, and now you see the beauty of my tie-in there, see? So I didn't waste your time with pictures of my grandchildren. It was all for a powerful kingdom purpose. All right, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's take a look at the scripture, and we're going to read this aloud together. This is the writer of the great epistle to the Hebrews, and he says, and let's read it out loud together, therefore let us move, what? Beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to, everyone say maturity. Circle that word, because that's what we're going to talk about today. We're moving beyond the beginning place. We're moving beyond where we are, and we're moving into a place called maturity. One of the great joys of being a parent, an uncle, an aunt, a grandfather, a grandmother, is watching a little child grow, mature, and develop. And of course, you know, children learn through their mistakes. They say that a child has to fall down, I forget how many hundreds of times in the process of learning to walk, but that the process of falling and losing your balance actually is a part of the cognitive development of the skill of balance and being able to walk. And I realize in my life, so many mistakes I've made, so many errors, so many times where I was trying to get it right, but I didn't get it right. I was falling down in my own way, but also in a very strong way, a spiritual way, I was learning and I was growing. How many of you have fallen down and you can't get up? No, let me say it this way. You've fallen down recently, but you're learning. You're not where you need to be, but you're on your way, all right? And so a part of that is just that maturing process. And we watch our children and they go through the various stages of life. They learn to walk, and then of course they learn to eat. And then they never stop eating, and it's very expensive, and you go to Costco and you still can't keep up, and it goes on. But then eventually they learn how to work and they get a job, and it's amazing, right? And they acquire new skills. And so you go through that. And in a way, this is exactly what we're going through, each and every one of us. As parents, we love to see our children learning and growing and developing. But our Heavenly Father, who loves us, and we are His children, He loves to see us in that process of learning and growing. And moving beyond the elementary stages of faith and embracing something that is more like maturity. God wants us to move beyond our infancy into a place of maturity. Growing up is really all about taking on more and more responsibility. That's the downside of growing up, getting older. You know, you that first paycheck and you see how Uncle Sam takes a portion of your paycheck and you start paying taxes and then you get those bills and then the kids come and you realize you can't keep the schedule that you used to keep and you can't sleep anymore. That's all out the door. You're embracing more and more responsibility as you ratchet up through the stages of life. But it's not all hopeless, tedious development of responsibility, because growing up has got some real plus sides to it. Part of the plus side of growing up is the ability to be responsible, but also to take authority, to handle the authority, and to live on a different level where you're a little bit more able to give, you're able to help other people. Because you've grown mature, you're able to shape your life, to make decisions, determine direction, and hopefully move in a better direction than you were moving when you were in diapers, right? You have a little more say-so. So growing and maturing is a mixed bag. It's more and more responsibility, but at the same time, it's more and more opportunity. And so God wants us as his children to grow and grow by embracing more and more responsibility, because he wants to use us to be a greater and greater influence in the world. You know, as long as I can remember, I don't know if you were like this growing up, but as long as I can remember, down to the second grade, third grade, fourth grade, I used to lie about my age. I always wanted to be older. Like if I was 6, I would push it to 7, right? Especially if I was meeting a girl. I'm 12. I'm not 11, right? It's like you always want to push it just a little bit further. Then you get older in life, then maybe you want to flip it the other way. You want to, you know, underestimate your age. But there's something I think. Did anybody else besides me want to just be mature? You always just wanted to be with the older kids? Anybody? 3 people. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's amazing. I feel this amazing connection that we have right now. Even as I'm communicating, it's awesome. Well, I always wanted to be older and more mature. And I think in a way, that's a part of what God puts in us on a spiritual level. There's something not totally healthy about clinging to immaturity, clinging to spiritual infancy. God puts, I believe, inside of us a desire to grow stronger, to have more authority. And one of the benefits of moving on, as the writer of Hebrews says, moving to a place of maturity is being able to stand tall, moving beyond the places of infancy and childhood that we're used to. God really has that desire in us, spiritually speaking, to mature and to grow up. And so that's what today is really all about. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. You may never get another chance to do this, so please do it now. Turn to the person you came with or whoever is near you and say, "It's about time you grew up." Okay, just do that right now. And they will understand that completely. This may be your only chance to do that, but look right at your spouse and say, "It's time for you to grow up. And Pastor said so," okay? So how does it work? How do we grow up? Let's get practical, let's get real, because we do want to grow up. There's a principle that I want to share with you. It's a key principle, and I want you to write this down, that spiritual growth and growing into maturity is about 2 things. It's about the push of pain and the pull of hope. If you can understand these 2 things, you'll get your life will make a whole lot more sense. You see, life is filled with great moments, wonderful moments, you know, weddings, birthdays, celebrations, reunions, making friends, high spiritual moments. Life is filled with those things. But there are also those painful moments that we all go through. And there are people in this room that are going through painful moments, difficult moments. And you always want to say, "Lord, why is that?" Life is both things, isn't it? It's not just fun. There are some real pain points in life. So what's the meaning of that? What's that all really about? In truth, so much of pain and so much of pleasure in life is designed to move us forward, to get us to do exactly what Paul the Apostle or the writer of Hebrews was talking about. You can tell that I believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, so that's an inside theology joke because we don't really actually know. But once in a while, I'll squeak out that Paul wrote Hebrews. And please don't write that down because it may not be true, even though it's totally true. Okay. So life is about, you know, those painful times and those pleasurable times. And what is that really all about? It's about the pull of hope that things could get better, and that'll get you moving. The other thing that'll get you moving is the pain of staying the same. You know, it could be that one of the blessings of the pain that you are in today is that it is making you willing to experience some change in your life. Because the pain of continuing to do it how you're doing it, the pain of going through it this way, kind of prompts you, it pushes you forward, just like hope will pull you. And so God uses both pain and hope to keep us moving. And that's why life is as it is. You might say, well, why does there have to be hard things in life? Because it takes more than just hope to get some of us moving. Sometimes God will pull the feathers out of our nest, and he'll start messing with our recipe, and he will allow us to feel discomfort. And the whole thing is, he's not trying to afflict us, he's not trying to torture us, but he might be trying to move us. And sometimes you just got to get moving. Sometimes you just got to move away from where you are and embrace something different and embrace something better. And that can be a big part of the process of maturing. Could it be that our present pain is intended to capture our attention and move us, that God is using? You say, God, why are you allowing this? But God may be allowing it to get our attention to move us into something that he really has that is much, much better for that. And in the midst of that, God wants to give you tremendous hope as well, that you might feel stuck and you might feel like nothing's moving, but if God gives you hope and gives you a dream and gives you a desire, well, that pretty soon you're willing to move in ways that you weren't before. It's like children. That's the way children mature. It's the push of pain and the pull of hope. The push of pain, which says, stop doing it this way, there's going to be consequences, and so we modify our behavior, we accept the responsibility, and we move on. And then there's the hope that if we keep going, we're going to have more and more autonomy, more and more ability to shape the world around us, to build the life that we really want, and hopefully to be a blessing to others. That's really what I want you to see today, the pain, the push of pain, and the pull of hope, and how that might be affecting each of you. Now, here in the main auditorium, we're going to talk through three things that really get us moving. But let me just say, if you're listening online or if you're watching this recording in your small group, take your Beyond book and go to lesson number 4 and follow the directions. Go through that together as a group and then pray together at the end. And let's believe God that we can all move forward together. Now, three things that move us toward maturity. Are you ready for this? Number one, maturity is a lot about what we see. Growing up, spiritual maturity, spiritual growth is about what we see and how we see. Specifically, sometimes we see, but we don't see as we ought to see. It says in Matthew 14:14 about Jesus, a really striking verse, that Jesus saw a great multitude. He saw them and he was moved. Now, there's nothing that will move you like seeing something. And I don't mean just seeing it, but I mean really seeing it. I believe when Jesus saw the multitude, he saw into their heart. He saw their need. He saw them as he sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He can look right into your soul. And when Jesus looked into the souls of people, it moved him. I think we've all had this experience to one degree or another. We see things, but we don't really see it. Things pass by us every day, but we don't really see it. But then something just captures our attention, and we actually really see it. We actually really see our spouse or our child or our friend or our neighbor or our city or our nation. And it moves us because we actually see it. There's a beautiful passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha and his servant were surrounded by an enemy army. It was a terrible circumstance, and all they could see was what the enemy was doing and how he was preparing to make war. But Elisha's servant was anxious and nervous because of this situation they were in, and Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see." And the Lord touched his eyes, and I think he could see the army, but God touched his spiritual eyes, and suddenly he saw what he hadn't seen, which was the angels of God everywhere, and how the odds were way stacked in their favor. Sometimes you can look at life in a natural way. You look at what's going on in your world with your friends or whatever. You look at the news. You see the way things are going in the world. And we see that, but I don't think we often see what God is trying to do or wants to do or is ready to do in that. And I think we've got to have our eyes open to the opportunities, because if you only see the natural, you'll be very discouraged. You'll be anxious. You'll be sleepless. But could it be that God wants to open your eyes today to show you some things that you haven't quite seen yet? Maybe things that are going on in your family or your country or wherever it is. God will open your eyes and show you something that would encourage you and actually give you hope to move forward. Because my friends, if you're looking just at the natural, you will be discouraged. You will be anxious. You will feel defeated. You'll feel hopeless. God wants to give you the pull of hope today by opening your eyes. It's what you see that will make such a difference for you. Do you see what God sees? Do you have spiritual vision in your life? Let me ask you this. Do you have a vision that is moving you forward? Is your vision limited? Is it just like, well, I just want to keep my job. That's really basically all I want to do. Or, you know, I just want my family to stay together. Or is there something more that God might show you if he was to touch your eyes, something that he would show you about what he wants to do in your life? Your story might be different than mine. The way God uses you might be totally different than the way he uses me, but God wants to show you. And I believe he wants to show us something together that causes all of our hearts to burn, gets us moving as a church and responding to cities and nations and people groups. As a church, we could see it and begin to move and have hope together that we could be a blessing in the world. We've got to have a vision that is moving us forward. I remember talking to a friend of mine who has a young adult son who wasn't exactly moving. I mean, let's just say he wasn't breaking any records in terms of finishing college, getting a job, you know, getting married. He was going, at least for this father's perspective, he was going a little on the slow side, and he was thinking, I don't know, how do I get my son moving? You know, I love him, he's a great kid, but how do I get him moving? He's just not moving. And I remember saying to him, let's pray that he'll meet a girl. He says, what? I said, you know, there's nothing that will get a young man moving like embracing a job, maybe lifting his vision a little bit higher, get out, get an apartment, you know, pay off some bills, get some furniture, get something going, because he wants to provide, you know, a little bit more than his mother's couch for his lady, right? That he's sometimes you need a vision of something, and whatever shape that vision is, that could get you motivated. It's the pull of hope. It's that there's something more than what I have right now. And I'm using that obviously as an illustration, but I want to ask you a question. What is the vision that is pulling you? What's motivating you and moving you forward? So, well, I don't have anything. Ask the Lord to touch your eyes. You could have that same experience that Elisha's servant had, where God touches your eyes and suddenly you see opportunity and you see where your life fits into it and how you can be a blessing. When I can see beyond, I regain my hope. When I can see beyond, what I'm experiencing right now, what's in front of me, I can regain my hope. I can tell you that this fresh round of vision that the Lord has given me, it's moved me. It's moving me because I'm seeing something. I'm seeing how God could use us. You know, if you think about how would we expand as a church? You know, I was a little stuck because, you know, we're growing and great things are happening, but this is probably a $20 million facility. What's next, a $40 million? I'm 56 years old. I don't have time for a $40 million. It's just, that's too scary. How could we reach more people? How could we do it? And God started to show me about other cities and smaller facilities in other cities. And suddenly I was seeing something that I had never seen before. That there is a way for us to move forward. There's a way for us to have greater impact than we ever dreamed was possible if we'll just see what God wants us to see. If you want to move, if you want to move beyond, if you want to move toward maturity, you need to see some things. So just do something with me right now. Take your hands and just put them over your eyes and just say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes and show me some things that you would like me to see about my life and my world. Lord, touch me deeply with spiritual vision. That's the first thing we need. But then it becomes what we think. It's not just what we see, it's what we think. Moving is about our thoughts. Maturity is about how we're thinking. It's about embracing new ways of thinking. I was talking to one of our business people after the first service, and he was saying, Pastor David, this is exactly what I do. I go into corporations and I teach them to think differently about their organization. Because when organizations get stuck with one way of thinking, one way of behaving, they need to be retrained, they need to think differently, and when the organization thinks differently, suddenly it's able to move forward. Well, this is exactly what God wants for every one of us. If we can change the way we're thinking, we can move forward to a better place, to a more mature place. And the classic scripture on this is Romans chapter 2. Where Paul says, do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform. Everyone say transform. Now, how are we changed? How do we move? How are we transformed? He says, transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. It's the change of our minds that changes our lives so that you can prove for yourselves what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight or his vision for you. A change of mind is a powerful thing. And I'm going to use a word that isn't used very much in churches. It's the word repentance. That's a Bible word. It's a good word. And I think that's been marginalized somehow. People have got a wrong picture of the word repentance, of some angry preacher commanding people to repent or die or that kind of a thing. And so we don't really like to use the word repent, but repent just means to change your mind. It just means to change the way you are thinking, the way you're looking at life. So you're heading in one direction in the way you think, and then you encounter Jesus, you encounter the kingdom, you encounter the gospel, and you go, whoop, I'm heading in the wrong direction. I change my mind. That's not where I want to be. I want to be over here where God wants me to be. So we turn our direction, and we change the way we're thinking. Look, repentance is not something for the super spiritual. Repentance is not extra credit. It should not have been like 12 years since you repented, right? Repentance is the very beginning place of our experience with Jesus. It's how we enter into the kingdom by letting go of the way we were thinking and embracing a new way of thinking. That's how we enter into the kingdom of God. And it doesn't stop the first time you receive Christ. You have to continuously have your mind renewed and let God, as it says in Ephesians 4:32, let the Holy Spirit help you to change the way you are thinking. It's an issue of repentance, changing, and turning, and that's not such a bad thing. It's a very important part of our experience. Let me ask you this. Have you repented? Because I would think that almost all of us in some way or at some point would have repented of old ways, but you know, it's funny because we're not saying this word much anymore. It seems like you can just kind of step into church and not really let go of anything. You just kind of add Jesus. You just add church. And I'm wondering if all of us have really been born again. I mean, I'm not suspicious of anyone in particular, but I just think within our church culture, within the way the world is, we don't actually ever ask people to turn. But that's what serving the Lord is all about. Amen. And if you feel stuck, maybe it's time you changed the way you're thinking. See, we start with our experience and our culture and our way, and that's the authority. We just know we're right about it. Something deep inside tells us we're right. But then we learn the gospel. We pick up the Bible, and we realize there's a different way to look at it, and it's at that point that we have to make a decision. Are we going to go with our gut, the way we've learned, and the way mama and daddy told us it was, our whole experience, or are we going to change our mind and say, no, it's going to be this way. I'm choosing God, and I'll make sense of it later. But that's called repentance. Everyone say repentance. And it is a powerful tool to move you forward and out of your stuck place and into a new place that God has for you. If you want to move forward, it's about a metamorphosis. You know, the Bible talks about the transformation. That word transformation, Romans 12:2, the verse we read, be transformed, speaks about the stages that a caterpillar goes through on its way to be becoming a butterfly. It goes through, it's still the same, I mean, it's the same being, but in a way, it's completely new. It goes through a total change. And I think for you and I, there are stages, there are changes that we go through in life. You might be at a change point right now where the way it's been is over. It's not that way anymore. Now it's time to move on and to embrace the next stage, because ultimately you're going to be that beautiful creation that God has called you to be. But you can't get there if you're holding on to stage one or stage two. So turn to somebody and say, it's time to move on. It's time to move on, butterfly, all right? And embrace that which God has for us. Ephesians 4:32, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. I can remember years ago when I think it was about 16 or 17, when it was getting very real to me that I wasn't going to follow my father into insurance. I was going to be a pastor. And I wrestled with that, and I had all my confidence issues and all my issues of insecurity and thinking, would God choose me? I mean, am I making this up? And so you wrestle through all of that, but then I believe that this is the right thing for me. This is God's plan for my life. I'm going to be in the ministry. And at that time, I had a limiting mindset. My mindset, Pastor Chris, was 1 year of Bible school, and I would be ready. I'd be ready to take the world. I mean, generations were going to bow before me, and nations and kings. And I mean, this is the way a 17-year-old thinks. So sure, I'll go to Bible school. What do you want me to go? 6 months, 8 months? Nine, I'll go 9 months. Hey, I'll be ready, because there's just something special about me. I just need a little bit of encouragement, and boom, I'm going to take the world. Watch out, world. And I don't know, that's the way I was thinking at the time. But then I got a better thought, which is to get a really complete education and to get some experiences and maybe start where I was and not try to start at the top, but maybe start at the bottom. I had to adjust my way of thinking. And God's been so faithful to guide me. And actually, you know, 1 year, 9 months of Bible school or 1 year of Bible school wouldn't be nearly enough. In fact, it's a lifetime of learning that we enter into. Whatever you choose to do, if it's ministry, whatever God has called you to do, certainly everyone here has a kingdom purpose. And if you think a limiting thought about yourself, well, I'll just do a little bit and that'll be good enough, that would actually limit your future. But a bigger idea could open up a bigger future for you. And I wonder how many times you and I have had small thoughts limit our thinking. What small thoughts are limiting your thinking today? What small concepts about money are keeping you from giving? What small thoughts about marriage are keeping you from loving your wife or husband the way you need to? What small thoughts are limiting your spiritual maturity? Because if you're in a box, I promise you, God didn't put you in that box, but your thoughts may have. So turn in a new direction. It's what we see that will move us. It's what we think that will move us. And as the worship team gets ready to come, let me just bring this down in the last 7 minutes of this service. It's what we choose that will move us. Life is actually about decisions. What are you deciding? What are you choosing? Maturity and growing up. Listen to me, young people. It's not a matter of age only. Maturity is about making decisions. It's about making choices in our lives. And that's how we get strong. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is the classic chapter. It talks about making the choice and choosing life and how this is our life where God calls us to make the choice. And I promise each and every one of you, God has empowered you to choose. You can choose a better life than the one you have. You have that power. You can say yes to God, but it's going to take a decision, and it's going to be a grown-up step that you make to choose that direction. You are empowered by God to choose. You're empowered to choose a great life, or you're empowered to choose a pathetic life. You're empowered to choose a beyond life, or you're empowered to choose a woe is me life, a I'm a victim life. Everybody's messing with me, and there's nothing I can do. You can make that choice. It's the power of what you think that sets you up for the power of what you choose. And God has so much more. He has empowered you to choose, but also to make you responsible for what you were, for what you have chosen. Jesus has given you the power to choose between life and death, and you can choose that. I was thinking about my choice to follow the Lord. I'm so glad. How many are glad you chose to follow the Lord? You just said, I'm going to do this, you know. And it's been kind of messy ever since, and so it has been for me. But, boy, I would never go back. I don't ever want to go back. And I was thinking about when I received Christ when I was 14 at a youth camp, and I actually had made the decision at that time, going into that youth camp, I will not give my life to the Lord. I know what they're going to do. I know how they do it. They're going to play, you know, somebody's going to preach, and then at the end, they're going to play music, and then you feel a little thing inside your heart, and you want to cry, and I said to myself, I'm not going to do that. But of course, it didn't work. So how did I go from choosing not to choosing to do that? What was that? For me, it was the push of pain and the pull of hope. That's what moved me. The pain, the loneliness, the sadness, the addictions, the emptiness. That was a very painful, painful time, and that pain was pushing me. But then to hear the gospel and to hear that God loved me and that God had a purpose for my life, it was a pull like I've never felt before. Like I was drawn to God, and that's how I got moving. And I received Christ and I was born again. And it's been that way ever since. Don't you understand? Don't you know why God is letting you go through hard times and why He wants to give you hope? Because He wants you to move. He wants to move you from where you've been into something so much more. He wants to move you into beyond through what you see and what you think. And what you choose. Would you bow your heads right now? I want to pray for you because I know there's some people in this room that really are experiencing the push of pain. And it's not nonsense. You're not suffering for no reason. There is a reason. God would never let you suffer for no reason. He loves you. But you're like that caterpillar. It's moving to another stage. And I just want to pray for you. In fact, just while heads are bowed, I wouldn't embarrass you, but how many would just lift your hand and say, Pastor David, I'm really experiencing the push of pain right now. Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. That's me. I'm going through it. I'm having a hard time. Of course, dozens and scores of hands. Father, I pray for people that are going through it. I thank you, Lord, that you have something beyond even our pain because the trials that we go through are working something deep inside of us, Lord. Lord, have your way in every one of our lives, especially for those that are in that moment of pain. Jesus, would you move them to a better place? Holy Spirit. We're going to close the service in just a minute. Just leave your head bowed if you would. I don't want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to change your mind, to change your mind about Jesus. If you've been going in the wrong direction and you got it, you understand this is wrong and you want to change your direction, I want to pray for you that God will really grace you and turn you in a brand new direction. Is there somebody here? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. You just say, man, I can feel myself going in the wrong direction and I want to turn. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to go all the way with Jesus. I want to move beyond. If that's you, lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Just right where you are, put it up. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Over there to my right. Anybody else? Yes, sir. I see you. That's wonderful. Just lift it up. Thank you. Two in the back. I see you guys. You here. I see you. Wonderful. You know, when I made this decision, it was scary. I was nervous about it. I don't want you to be nervous. Lift your hand to say, that's me. I need to turn. I need to move in a new direction. Six people with their hands up. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to touch these lives, Lord. Lord, give them the grace to turn. And Lord, if they can't turn themselves, you turn them. But let your power, Holy Spirit, take over. I know you brought them for a reason. Let them open their hearts completely to Jesus and let their life change from this day. Lord, take them from the caterpillar all the way to the butterfly. If any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Thank you, Father. Let that new life touch these seven today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Seven people saying, that's me. I want to receive Christ. Let's tell them that's the right decision for them to make. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to worship with that beautiful song about God's greatness. I want you just to soak in just 2-3 more minutes of God's presence. We're going to give you an opportunity to give. If you haven't already given digitally, you can give manually in this offering. Thank you for your giving and for what you guys have done. It's amazing. Thank you for that. And then in a few minutes, you'll see our friends at the front. And if you need to connect with somebody and just pray, maybe some healing prayer, or just need to check in with someone and talk, there are counselors that'll be up at the front that love to pray with you and help you. Let's worship the Lord together with our giving, and I'll come back in just a moment and speak a blessing. You are great, Lord. Hallelujah. You are great. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand together, everyone. Let's stand together. Prayer counselors are coming. I saw Bill Riddle earlier somewhere. Is Bill still in the room? I see you, Bill. We're going to pray for Bill and his family. He's flanked by friends and loved ones, and we grieve with you, Bill. We grieve with you guys, and we want you to know how special Katie is to all of us, and we're going to miss her, but we're going to see her again. How many know that's real, right? So let's pray for the Riddle family, and that they would just receive God's grace, and then I'm going to pray a blessing for all of us to receive God's grace. Father, thank you right now that you are near us and able to comfort us in all of our affliction and in all of our pain. Father, I'm asking that you would just touch Bill and his family, all the members of that household, Lord, and everyone that knew and loved Katie so much, Lord. Just let the comfort of the Holy Spirit rest on all of us. And Lord, wherever there's pain in this room, or anyone hearing my voice, wherever there's pain, let your healing strength, Lord, be real. Bless us, Lord, and move us forward with the push of pain and the pull of hope to be exactly who you've called us to be. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a special time here today. Thank you for coming. I'm so glad you came. And if you want to connect with prayer, you can do that here at the front. Don't forget, if you need help to register for the conference, they'll help you in the lobby. They'll get you registered right now, or you can do it on your digital device. Go to the website, gccsj.com, and get registered. All right? Make your plans. God bless you. You are dismissed.